The last couple of weeks I've had a lot of time, and I got back into listening to books, and I listened to one of my favorite books. It's something called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. It's a very strange book. It's about God. It doesn't mention God that much. But there are a lot of interesting philosophical points in the book. There is a place where the author talks about the Greek view of time, and he says this of the Greeks: they saw the future as something that came upon them from behind their backs, with the past receding away before their eyes. Who can really face the future? All you can do is project from the past, even when the past shows that such projections are often wrong. And who really can forget the past? It's an interesting view of time to me to think of the future back there and the past out in front, in view. But it's a point of view or a view of time that I think is really useful and interesting as we begin the season of Advent. This season, to my mind, is all about time, about the power of time to motivate us and the power of time to frighten us. We hear much from the prophet Isaiah during Advent, and he loves to talk about time, about especially the days to come, the future. But in the Isaiah reading, we also hear about the present. Let us go up to the house of the Lord. We see this concern or this view of time begin to show also in the collect, the prayers that we say. In our collect today, we spoke of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to visit us, the past. Now is the time of mortal life, the present. But we also hear that in the last day we may rise to life immortal, future. There is an awareness of the holiness of time, especially during Advent, past, present, and future. The Christian tradition is a faith tradition that includes and even requires consideration of past, present, and future. It provides comfort and guidance for us, past, present, and future. And Advent is the time especially during the church year when it's helpful for us to begin to ask and to consider in more depth, what does the coming of Christ mean to us as we consider our past, our present, our future? If, as the Greeks believe, the past comes rushing at us into view, threatening to overwhelm us with grief or regret or longing, we can face it knowing that we are forgiven. It means that we have accepted Jesus, and having done so, we need no longer say such things as, even God can't forgive this. Whether this is something I have done or something done to me, the coming of Christ allows me to let it go. The more Christian perspective tells us that if the past does rush up to us, as the Greeks thought, it is only to teach us to be better. To be better than we have been before, individually and as a society. To use our past as something to bring us closer to God. Today, we are to go up to the house of the Lord. And I think living in God's grace allows us to look back on the past, not with regret, but with an interest, with a question: what do we know now that we wish we had known then? In the book that I listened to last week, the author talks of a time when he was in a mental health facility. He was treated with what we now call electroshock therapy. And he says of that experience, it was a personality destroyed. A whole personality had been liquidated without a trace in a technologically faultless act. He goes on to say, the involuntary shock treatment described here is against the law today. It is a violation of human liberty. The culture has changed. I'm so thankful that everything is changing. That in science and health and education and social justice and psychology and environmental care, we are learning from the past. We can't help saying, if only we had known then what we know now, but we are learning. There were times, believe it or not, when women took arsenic for beauty reasons. Didn't work out so well in the long run. There are times in cultures when they believed in binding the feet to achieve perfection. There was a time when people put nightshade, which is a poisonous plant, in the eyes to dilate them. And those acts resulted in blindness. We once thought that people unlike us were inferior to us, not deserving of compassion or care. But we know better now. And still we say, if only we had known then what we know now. When my sister was little, God rest her soul, she attended parochial school, and it wasn't the ideal environment for her. She was very loving, but was known from the earliest days to be authority resistant. And when she went to parochial school, the nuns there decided that they would straighten her out. And I look back about Marcia and I think, well, good luck with that. But the straightening out they wanted to do was not for something we would think of as bad behavior. They wanted to fix her because she was left-handed. They thought it was just willfulness or lack of discipline or that budding and later notorious recalcitrance or some other bad habit that led her to use her left hand instead of using the right hand like everybody else did. The thought was out there back in those days that being left-handed was something we needed to fix. We know better now. Wonder what damage was done to psyches in such times. And I think if only we had known then what we know now. Through the awareness we gain from experience and from a retrospective of grace, God redeems the past. Christianity and its Advent season help us to cope with time in another way. The gifts God gives us help us in the present to be loving persons. We undertake that effort to be loving not to earn heaven, but to invite heaven into today. Come, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Today, God redeems the present. And when we sustain an awareness of our invitation this day to go up to the house of the Lord, we live a life that is sacramental. Sacraments are outward and visible manifestations of God's grace. And so, as we just go about our regular lives, every time we think of God first, when we think of the image of God residing in each person we meet, we begin to make that ordinary human encounter into a sacramental act. Think about the word sacramental. It means to keep the holy, the sacred, in mind. And the Puritans, they have their challenges. They get a lot of bad press. But they thought something that we should all keep in mind. Any human activity can be an offering to God. Any human activity can be sacramental. And so when we say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord, we are not talking about heaven or even about church or the physical house of the Lord, but about our very selves. We're talking about the soul of the other In these persons, we keep the sacred in mind. They and we are sanctuaries of the holy. The past teaches us to value others in the present, so that in the future we will live without regret. The past teaches us to value others, to value relationships, to value loving over winning. The past teaches us what kinds of actions and words could easily plant seeds of regret, which could sadden and burden us in the future. A friend of mine tells about, what are the insects that only live a day? Is it mayflies? Mayflies. He tells about two mayflies at the very end of the day saying, if I'd only known at 9 o'clock this morning what I know today. We all have regrets. And we're all going to look back. But we can minimize our regrets if we act in a loving way. How can we invite God's grace into our lives, past, present, and future? Ideally, we would slow down, examining each action and word, asking whether this particular choice allows me to keep the sacred in mind. It won't happen, of course, because people are in too much of a hurry, especially this time of year. And I think that is the wisdom of Advent. It is in this time when we are on fast forward. It is the season to practice slowing down so that we can keep the sacred in mind. Not just so we can come to church to worship more, but so that we can see every human being, including ourselves, as the sanctuary of the holy. Not long ago, I read an article about the toll that physical technology has taken on one particular person. And he says of our society, we have gone from looking up and around to constantly looking down at our phones, at our technology. And it seems now we have a lack of practice in looking around and looking up. This is not just the result of technology. It is the result of being on fast forward all the time and failing to see the holy all around us. If we don't practice, we will forget to keep the sacred in mind. We will fail to see God in the other. We will insist on our little victories of word and action rather than seeing God and serving God in that other person we are tempted to vilify. Keeping the sacred in mind. How does this idea, given by God, change our behavior day to day? It means that we treat others with compassion. We act with humility. We value relationships. We seek justice. We offer and accept forgiveness. So we have a new season. How does the advent of that awareness, that sacramental awareness, change our future? It will allow us to live in peace with others and with ourselves in our old age. When we have lived for God, we need not fear time. The past is forgiven, the present sanctified, and so the future will be filled with peace. It's Advent. It's Advent. It's all about time. And God redeems time, past, present, and future. So come now. Let us go up to the house of the Lord.